you for tuning in to this episode of Coronacast. I'm Hannah Harris. We recorded this episode and then realised that I had not done my disclaimer, so I'm doing it now. I am a GP. I'm not an infectious diseases or public health expert, so all opinions expressed are my own and not on behalf of an organisation. Thank you for listening.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Coronacast. This is the second part of our mental health and managing anxiety episode.
Hi.
We're up very early this morning doing some recording, so sorry if we sound a little bit tired.
Yeah, we're up early before I go to work. Yep. We should introduce ourselves. I'm Hannah.
And I'm Tilly.
And first of all, I wanted to ask Tilly how she's doing, because that's what she asked me in the last one. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm just going with the flow, I guess, taking every day at a time. Sometimes we were talking to our friends on Zoom last night and they have a baby, so they were saying sometimes days can be quite repetitive, and I was saying, well, I feel the same even without a baby. Sometimes the days can feel like quite repetitive. I'm like trying to fit in some exercise and sort out my room and then try and eat.
Talk to a few friends.
Yeah, it can feel a bit repetitive, but
yeah, they all roll into one a little bit,
yeah,
don't they?
Yeah, they do. But I'm trying to find ways around it, and it's going okay. Yeah.
You had a question for me, I understand.
Yes. So my friend asked me this on video chat the other day, which was, how do you actually go about getting a test if you feel like you've got coronavirus, or you want to be test? I don't know what the deal is with the test to see whether you've already had it, but yeah, how do you actually go about it?
Well, the government's been promising for a long time to roll out this testing to everybody, and I think it is now actually coming to fruition. So NHS workers are being prioritised at the moment.
Yeah, which is understandable and a good thing.
Yeah, it's important to see if they have it and think about whether they have had it in the past so that they can get back to work and know that they're safe to do so and that they're not infecting other people, or that they're not putting themselves at risk either way. So there's a testing centre that's opened at Chessington World of Adventures, which obviously isn't in use with its normal activity at the moment. So there's a drive-through testing centre there, and I know some doctors who have been invited there to be tested and have had the swabs done.
Cool.
That is definitely happening. A bit like, if you remember a couple of episodes ago, my mum was talking about how she had to go to her local hospital to be tested right at the beginning of the coronavirus pandemic, and that this is a bit like that now, really. It's gone full circle, so people are able to go and get their swabs done there. People can't just turn up, so please don't try to start turning up at Chessington. It's an invitation only thing at the moment. So once the NHS workers have been done, then people will be invited. Also, there's this antibody test being developed, which I understand will be in circulation soon. I think it's being done in other countries already.
Yeah.
And there's also on the government's announcement yesterday that Michael Gove led, the Deputy Chief Medical Officer Jenny Harris was saying that they're going to be rolling out postal testing soon.
Oh, cool.
So that will be another brilliant way for people to get tested. So hang in there, everyone. I think it is going to happen. It's just going to take a little while longer.
Yeah. So I guess at the moment it's quite difficult to get one, but that soon won't be the case, hopefully.
And one other thing to say is that in the meantime, and I should have mentioned this before, really, there's an app that's been developed by the team at King's College London. It's a COVID-19 app. We will post the link to it
in the description,
in the podcast blurb. Yep. And that is an app where people can go on. They've developed one that was made for a twins study, where people had to check into the app each day with information about how their twins were doing.
Oh.
And or maybe not every day, but regularly. And this is an app where you can check in every day and say what symptoms you have. Even if you don't have any symptoms, you should say that. And it's a way for epidemiologists to track.
To keep track because of the lack of testing, I guess.
Yeah, so see what's happening, what the pattern is with people, what symptoms first develop and the course and how long it lasts for. So a way to develop better understanding of the disease by using everybody in the population. So
that's such a good idea. I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, it's brilliant. So, and it's really easy to check in with it every day and just say how you're feeling, especially when you don't have any symptoms. So I would recommend and encourage everybody to get the app.
Cool.
Next then, we're going to go on to start talking more about managing anxiety. So last time we talked about the background and started to think about ways to think positively and focus on the people in your life and how to link up with them.
Yeah.
And today we're going to focus more on things about activity and creativity, like ways of channeling your energies to make you feel better.
Doing things, what things you can do.
Uncertain time. Yes.
Yeah.
So firstly, I wanted to just say a bit about physical health, which as a GP is obviously quite important to me and I'm sure is important to everybody. So alongside worrying about mental health, we also need to, of course, be thinking about our physical health because they both feed into each other. So one thing is making sure you eat regularly and eat a healthy diet. We've talked about chocolate and how much we love having our chocolate every day.
Yeah, which is fine.
But it's, you know, obviously chocolate isn't very healthy and eating sugary foods isn't very good for you all the time. So you should have a balanced diet and make sure you have plenty of fruit and veg as long as you can get hold of any.
That's what I was saying. Like, just try and put some, like, try and have some sort of fruit or veg. I mean, it's hard to find at the moment, but we have been, like, me personally, we have been able to in, like, bigger supermarkets, haven't we?
Yeah, there's lots of fruit and veg around, actually, and salad, things like that.
Yeah, so just try and have a bit, like, if you're having a meal, just try and have one thing with it, even if it's just some salad.
And sleep is another really important thing, because lack of sleep can make you feel pretty down and anxious. So trying to get good sleep, and a big thing about sleep is good sleep hygiene. So putting away the screens before a few hours before you're thinking about going to sleep, because they really stimulate the brain, and then when you try to go to sleep can keep you awake.
I'm finding that really difficult at the moment. Because it's so weird when you don't, like, I totally feel when you don't have necessarily anything to wake up for, like a long day stretching ahead of you the next day, you just kind of feel like, oh well, you know, I don't need to go to sleep for anything. So you just sort of stay awake
and stay on your phone in touch with your friends,
watching
and everything,
things on FaceTime, and then end up going to bed late and waking up late or tired if you need to get up for something. So any tips welcome, because I haven't managed to conquer that yet.
Yeah, please send in your tips about the things that you're doing. It would be really useful and interesting to hear from you. We'd love that. Other things are to have a hot bath before bed and to try using lavender oil. The essential oil is lavender, is meant to be really good for sleep, calming the mind and
relaxes you
and helping you to nod off. Finally, people are turning to alcohol, I understand, quite a lot at the moment, because alcohol is a known way of calming down anxiety at the time, but the next day, actually, the anxiety is a lot worse. So it's a bit of a vicious circle as far as alcohol is concerned. So understandable way of trying to manage anxiety, but just try to limit your intake and have at least 2 clear days a week and maximum 14 units a week, if possible.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to have a drink. I think it's not always worth it for the next day.
Yeah, we just need to be careful, keeping ourselves healthy. And this leads us on to talking about sport and fitness.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been talking to a really good friend of mine, Claire. She lives in Sydney and we've known each other since we were under one. Our mums met at a playgroup. So we've known each other for more than 40 years and we're still really close friends and we're in touch with each other most days. And she has 3 boys over there. That she, in terms of her work, she previously lived in New York and only just recently moved to Sydney. And in New York, she was doing a lot of coaching of boards of big companies, like chief executives and the board, and coaching them about leadership, because the world has changed a lot and board level people want to get up to speed with managing their people well. And so she's done a lot of psychology, and I was talking to her about sort of the managing anxiety and the psychology of it all. And she gave me a lovely analogy, which about the turning down the radio. So your anxiety is like a radio playing inside your head, and when you're feeling really anxious, the radio is all that you can hear, and you can't hear anything else. All you can hear is your radio going on very loudly in your head. And when we're trying to manage the anxiety, we're trying to turn down that radio. And sometimes you find that the radio is on very quietly, and you're able to get on with lots of things, and you're hardly aware of it being there. But it tends to turn itself up and down, and you don't feel like you have much control over it.
Do you think you could maybe talk about it as like turning it down, but also like slowing it down as well? Because sometimes like thoughts are so like quick, you can like buzz through like, what about this, what about this, what about this, what about this?
Yeah, you know? And you could say that you're slowing it down, but rather than it being some buzzy hectic voices on the radio, it's some nice calming relaxing music.
Calming.
So I know it's still there.
Yeah.
Radio 3.
Yeah.
So that it's a way, it's something to think, it's a way of talking about it. And in terms of sport and fitness, that's a way of turning down your radio, especially doing repetitive things and things that get the heart rate up and get the endorphins flowing.
Yeah.
That then turns down your radio.
Yeah. And it could be anything, like whatever works for you, really, I think. And it doesn't have to be... like, you know, I've been seeing a lot of things saying, like, I'm going to get my summer bod in this pandemic, whatever, quarantine. And, like, I don't think that's... I've seen lots of people saying, you know, you don't have to. You don't have to use this time to, like, lose weight. It's mainly, I would say, for your mental health. Like, I've found... like, I don't always manage to get out and do it, admittedly. But I've been trying to go for runs, like, just one lap around my local park. And it just helps me feel better. It makes I've achieved something. I've got outside. I've got my heart rate up. Some endorphins flowing, and it makes me feel better in myself. Yeah, it makes my mind clearer.
General sense of well-being.
Yeah, for sure.
And lots of people we know have got into running now that gyms are closed. Just getting outside in the fresh air, blue
open
skies,
space.
There's been quite a lot of sun. That's really good,
really helps
for the mind anyway. So even if it's not running, then walking.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And then obviously there are loads of online classes, Joe Wicks every morning for the kids and for the grown-ups. And also we did a dance aerobics class online the other day, 1980 star Jane Fonda workouts are all on Amazon for the older people among us. People are walking their dogs. There's so much you can do, and it's really good. It makes you feel better.
Yeah, it makes you feel better. That's even if it's just a walk, you could go for like a nice whatever, however long walk that you want. Even that just makes you feel better. I think it's so good to do.
Yeah, I agree. And listening to a podcast while you're out is always a good idea too.
That can be a nice little noise in the background.
Yeah. And then on to, related to this, is yoga and meditation.
Yeah.
This is another really good way of turning down your radio, but it's kind of the opposite to doing something cardiovascular that gets the heart rate going. It slows the heart rate down and kind of opens and clears your mind, gives you a chance to pause and reflect.
Yeah, I guess like the sport and physical activity is kind of a distraction. And then like this side is more kind of calming down and trying to go into like switch it off.
Yeah, giving a sense of acceptance.
Yeah.
And meditation is breathing and getting your, it's all about breathing essentially. And when you focus on your breathing, it helps to clear your mind. We're now going to hear from a lovely friend of mine called Kira, who has a yoga studio in South Norwood, which has sadly had to close down. And she is doing online classes. And here is her talking a bit about yoga and how it's beneficial for your body and how it works. Hi, Kira. Welcome to CoronaCast. It's lovely having you on the show. I really wanted to talk to you about your yoga and your yoga studio and what you're doing now we're in lockdown. So tell us about what's been happening with you since this pandemic broke out.
Hi, Hannah. Thank you for having me. So I opened my yoga studio in January this year, and it was going extremely well, building an absolutely lovely community of yogis in South Norwood, South London. And due to the coronavirus, we closed the doors a couple of weeks ago now. And since then, in order to keep people practicing for their minds and their bodies, I've taken the classes online and I live stream them from my home, and people watch in their homes and they practice together all at the same time.
Cool. And that must have been really upsetting and disheartening when you had to close your lovely new yoga studio so soon after it opened. How did it feel?
So yes, we closed doors on Monday the 16th of March because I felt like it was the right thing to do for the good of the community that are coming through. And yeah, it was absolutely devastating. I was doing a lot of cleaning. I was asking people to help the cleaning when they came in. I do believe it was a really clean studio, but obviously you can just never guarantee with coronavirus, can you?
No, it gets everywhere. It's such an infectious disease that however much cleaning you do, you can't guarantee that there won't be particles of the virus left. So I really think you did the right thing, and it was really conscientious and community spirited of you. And so how is all the online, you picked yourself up, you started your online classes, and how's it all going?
Yes, so started the online pretty quickly. So closed the Monday, got the online going on the Saturday. I'm not technology. I'm not really a big lover of being in photographs or being videoed, but I've really got my head around it quite quickly. I guess that's what happens in times like this, isn't it? You have these coping mechanisms. And yeah, the classes are going really well. I'm actually really enjoying them. They're helping keep me sane because I've been living alone. So I get to see lots of people through the screen. Lots of familiar faces, and I've had so many amazing messages of support from the clients. They're excited to reopen whenever that will be, and they're going to be coming straight back. And they're also really grateful that I'm running their online classes because a lot of them are working from home, so they're spending a long time sitting and it's starting to affect their backs. And obviously, as we all know, it's been a very stressful time, so yeah, Everyone's mental health's been affected too.
Yeah, and it perhaps means people can do more yoga than they were doing before because they can actually make it to your classes more easily because your classes are coming to their home, which is really nice.
Exactly that. Like, we've all found that we've got much more time on our hands to focus on the things that really matter in life, like talking to family, friends, exercising, cooking healthy meals, and people are coming more often. I feel it's easier to teach more. So I'm teaching more classes at the moment as well to accommodate all the people coming. I've also made the classes donation-based, which makes them more accessible to people. So I made the suggested donation £4 or whatever people can afford. So for those reasons also, people can come to quite a few per week.
Oh, that's so brilliant, Kira. And why is yoga good for people? Why do you promote it and do it, and why would you say people should log on to your classes?
Well, a lot of people would say that yoga changed their lives, and even if that's a bit of a stretch for people, they'd still say, no pun intended, sorry, they'd still say that it's had a massively good impact on their life. And a lot of people would say the reason they practice yoga or any other form of exercise is not only for their body, it's often also or majority for their mental health. And you have a lot of deep breathing in it. So this stimulates your vagus nerve, which switches off your nervous system where you flight or fight, which is stress or get angry. And it switches on your parasympathetic nervous system, where you rest and digest, which is basically to chill out.
It's exactly what people need right now.
Exactly, yes. Because we're all feeling quite heightened of our awareness, aren't we? We're all being quite sensitive. You've heard that a lot of people are like having unnecessary arguments. Obviously, people are, they're doing a bit of a flight or fight response in the supermarkets with the hoarding.
Yeah, tensions are running high at home for everybody.
Yeah. So yeah, it's exactly what they need. And then in yoga, you also have meditation. You can have seated meditation or you can have the yoga meditation, which is a moving form. And this is basically to bring your mind into one point of focus. And often this point of focus is your breathing, which is happening in the present moment. And when you're focused in the present moment, you're not thinking about the future or the past. And often when you think about the past, you can go down a route of getting a little depressed. And when you think about the future, you can often end up down the road of feeling anxious.
And yoga keeps you in the moment. I'm sorry, meditation keeps you in the moment.
Yes, yoga and meditation.
Amazing. I'm so happy it's going well for you. Just do you want to give a quick plug? How do people log on to your classes?
Thanks, Hannah. So you can find me through Instagram or Facebook. The handle is @theyogamela, and Mela is spelled M-E-L-A. It's a Sanskrit word, which is an ancient language, spiritual language from India, and it means gathering. So I really liked the idea of building a community and getting people to come together as one. And the class schedule is going to be released on those pages. And then the information about how to book is there as well. And I'm using the website zoom.us for the videos. You just download it. It's free to set up an account. And then you donate to the link on my page. Whatever you can afford. If you can't afford it, you can just get in touch and I can send you the link for free as well.
Thank you, Kira. I think that gives people a really good insight, and we'll give a link to her webpage on the podcast blurb to plug what she's doing.
I know sometimes yoga and meditation can be quite, well, I guess, daunting and not always work. It doesn't work for everyone. Like personally, I find it quite, sometimes it works for me and sometimes I find it difficult. Like it's weird. So I found this app called Happy Not Perfect, and it's really good. It's not like there'll be like happiness workouts on there, which are literally, they'll take max 5 minutes, but normally less. And it's just a really good way of like writing down, like it gets you to kind of address anything you're like feeling worried about in that moment, because I think sometimes we can be worrying and not even like realize it.
Yeah,
you can
sure.
be like tense and like in your head your radio is worrying, and if you actually stop and think about it and just write them down, even that, just even being aware of it helps.
That's a really good point, Tilly.
Yeah,
I think a lot of people are feeling quite on edge and stressed at the moment but may not even be aware of it, because it's just this underlying buzzing of your radio in the background.
There's a coronavirus. So yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, it's called Happy Not Perfect. You can find it on the App Store. I think that's really good if sort of yoga or meditation you feel doesn't quite work for you.
And there are some other meditation apps that I should mention actually, which are Headspace and Insight Timer, that people find really useful. And again, we'll post links to those.
Mm-hmm.
Now, moving on to one of our absolute favourite subjects, which is creativity.
Yes.
We are massive fans of theatre, music, art, and really missing being able to go out and enjoy that. A big part of my life certainly is going to gigs, going to the theatre.
Yeah, me too.
So that is something that I think is quite a struggle for people to get used to. And there are actually are lots of ways still at the moment, or in development as well.
Yeah,
that
which I love.
That, like, you can enjoy the arts.
Because creativity is very kind of interactive and physical usually, but places have found ways to keep going despite us being all in quarantine, which is so good.
Yeah, and it's a way of, again, a way of focusing the brain and turning down that radio.
Yes, exactly.
So the National Theatre is going to be starting to broadcast every Thursday evening a play that has been on there in the past.
So cool. Do you have to, can you watch it for free or do you have
yeah,
to pay?
It's free.
Oh, so good.
And so this week is One Man, Two Governors, starring
James Corden.
Exactly.
Oh, I really want to see that. I literally I saw, like, I was watching something about him and it said like that was one of his first like plays he did, I think, how he got some recognition anyway. It looks so good.
Yeah, and I missed it at the time as well. So we're really looking forward to that, and we'll talk more about that in the next ep.
Yeah,
when we've seen it. In terms of music, people are putting on gigs. There's quite a few musicians and DJs are streaming gigs, old and new ones that they're doing at home.
Yeah, and just listen to some, just put some music on in the background. I think it can always help.
Like, yeah, I think
fill the silence.
It's easy to abandon music at a time like this and feel like it's not appropriate. But actually putting some on, dancing around in your kitchen, makes you feel really good.
Yeah, like while you're cooking. Like the other day I was cooking and I just put some music on and it was just so nice. I put some music on from this festival I went to with my friends a couple of years ago and it was actually lovely. Like, it took me right back. I was dancing around. It was so nice. It lifted my mood.
Who was it? Which artist?
Oh, it was from Bestival 2 years ago. 2 years ago? Yeah. So it was various ones. Rudimental was on there.
Uplifting music.
Yeah. Dance music.
And we'd like to feature more music in the podcast actually somehow, so we're figuring that out, and hopefully in future episodes we'll get some music across.
Yeah, hopefully.
So there are lots of other ways to enjoy creativity at home. Painting, drawing, those aren't our strong points, are they, Tilly?
No, that is not something that I am able to to do,
but maybe we can give it a go.
Yeah.
And then
colouring. That's colouring. What I could do.
Yeah, we can definitely do colouring.
The lines are drawn for me. I can add the colour.
And cutting and sticking, arts and crafts, knitting, crochet, things like that.
It could be anything, literally. And especially if you have kids as well, they're really good things to do. Like, literally just something hands-on that's not kind of, I guess, screeny or, like, I don't know, just gets your brain thinking.
Yeah.
Just anything.
Then model making. It might be difficult if model making shops are shut, but then you can use digital technology to be creative. You can make some movies, or you can put on some little plays with your family. I used to love doing that with my brother. And then cooking. Cooking is actually a way of being creative. As in the last episode, your friend Katie was saying, she's taking the time to spend cooking, even if she's not cooking mountains and mountains of food, just enjoying the process.
Yeah, because, trying new things.
Because that's enjoyable in itself.
Yeah, which is really cool.
And then storytelling is another one that I wanted to mention. Storytelling is an age-old tradition that we have as humans. Everybody loves a story. And you can make up stories, read stories to each other, listen to stories like audiobooks.
Stephen Fry Harry Potter is really good, just saying.
And also you can write stories. There's a Radio Times, I read about a Radio Times competition for writing a radio play, which is based on characters who are talking by video chat. And art galleries, they are doing tours online of their exhibitions.
Yeah, if you fancy it, kind of you could make a little project for yourself, like, well, we've got making the podcast or writing some poetry.
Yeah.
Or just something maybe to complete, I guess. And even that's kind of common in all of these, though, you know, like completing a drawing or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So there's lots online, and there's also lots that you can do at home by putting the technology away and doing fun, creative stuff.
Yeah. But I think it really, really, really helps.
Yeah, me too.
Put your mind at something.
And then kind of related to this, but a bit different, is what we call journaling, which is a way of kind of externalising what's going on in your head, making sort of clearing it and making you feel a bit better. So I read a really good book called The Artist's Way a few months ago.
Yeah, she always talks about it.
As recommended by somebody called Carrie Ad Lloyd, an actor, on a podcast I was listening to.
Yeah. And Julie Hesman had recommended it as well, actually.
Did she? Yeah. And it's called The Morning Pages, and which is, in The Artist's Way, it's a recommended technique to become more creative, in fact. So it's not really about mental health, but it kind of does both. So when you get up every morning, you handwrite 3 pages
of anything,
whatever's in your head, just get it out, write it down, 3 pages, and then you're done and you move on, and it's the first thing you do every day. And it's a lovely discipline to kind of get into, and it just makes you feel a lot better, and it does really open your mind.
Yeah.
And also,
something similar I did in my National Youth Theatre course. It wasn't in the morning, but we'd have these sessions where we'd literally put some music on, like get a pen and put it on the page, and then you couldn't take it off until our director said stop. Even if you were just writing, I don't know what to write, I don't know what to write, I don't know what to write.
Literally, like, writing
just,
that.
Yeah. It's so good. Like, yeah, don't overthink it. Just write whatever's ever in your head.
And you can also kind of do journaling in an audio way by recording whatever's in your mind. bit like we're this is our therapy here.
Yeah, definitely.
Just, you know, talking about what's on your mind and getting it out that way. But it's just a way of, as I said, externalizing, and I think it can be really, really helpful to people.
Yeah, definitely. I always find sometimes with writing, like, I'll put it off. I don't know why. You just feel like you put off, like, writing stuff down. I don't know what it is. I don't know whether it's fear of what's going to come out or whether it's not going to work or whatever, but I always find that, like, I put it off, but once I do it, it's really helpful. So yeah,
it's really easy to procrastinate about for some reason, but honestly, when you do it, it works.
It really helps. Yeah.
And then lastly, I just wanted to mention that actually what we're going through at the moment is grief.
I never thought about it like this before.
And we need to accept that, because that will help us to deal with it.
Yeah.
And manage it. We are grieving for our old lives, because we've seen such a sudden transformation in our lives, what's going on in the world.
Like, a couple of weeks ago I was living in Dublin with friends, not having a clue about any of this.
Yeah. and in one day you went into college, and then by that evening your ferry was booked home.
Yeah
So accepting that this, you know, this is a grieving process is really important. And we're also grieving for our summer plans and what we were looking forward to. Those plans are now not going to happen.
We're very high up in the air.
And plans that we had with friends aren't going to happen. And it's really hard to accept that.
It is.
And it means we're allowed to feel sad.
Yeah.
And take a moment to reflect.
Yeah, like having said all of these things that you can do, it's okay if you're not... I've seen this, Jamila Jamil posted something about this on her Instagram the other day, of like... you're always like, people are being encouraged to get creative and all that stuff, but it's okay not to do it. It's okay to just, you know, you're saving the world by being inside. So if you're doing that, that's an achievement. And these things are good to just cause get your mind thinking and distract you, but you don't have to feel bad if you're not. You can take this time to relax, and if you've had a shower and made a meal, well done. Like, that's fine.
Yeah.
You don't always have to keep yourself busy.
Yeah. Yeah. Be kind to yourself. Yeah. Again, I said this in the last episode. It's really important to be kind to yourself. Yeah. Don't be self-critical. Don't give yourself too much of a hard time. Just getting through each day is good enough.
Yeah. It's difficult, especially for achievers. But, you know, you're achieving by staying inside, because that's hard in itself.
Okay, so that's us done. And I just wanted to move on finally to mention something I didn't mention last time, which is we've obviously talked about loads of ways and techniques for dealing with anxiety and managing your mental health. Talking to your GP is important as well. If you are feeling like everything is too much, GP surgeries are open for business. They're not necessarily doing face-to-face consultations, but they are doing telephone consultations. So please contact your GP if you're really struggling. Yeah. And they will be able to point you in the right direction. You might find that you need some counselling or some therapy, and that is available during this time. You can get online counselling, online CBT, your mental health trust will usually have a website where you can register for talking therapy.
Yeah.
And you will still be able to do that at the moment. I know that there's an anxiety charity whose calls have gone up by 30-50%. So people are needing to talk to somebody, and please do look into these options. They are available.
Yeah, I feel like sometimes it's with like calling your GP, if you're you know, confronting how you're feeling is hard, and the thought of, you know, not talking to a face can be quite difficult, but your GP is the one that can help you. They can just offer you some advice. It will help.
And talking to a professional can be really helpful, because they will be used to dealing with people who are in your position and will know what to say and do. So I would encourage people to do that. And GPs also, of course, have the option of giving you medication if that's what they feel you need. On to our positive things.
Yes. Do you want to start it off?
Yeah, okay. I wanted to mention an article that I read that actually Barack Obama posted on Twitter.
Cool.
And it's an article from The Atlantic, which is an American magazine. And it's called The End of the Pandemic. Well, again, we'll post it in our blurb. It talks about how terrible this time is, especially in America. But it also talks about the end of the pandemic and how the world might look afterwards, and gives some positive messages there. You know, we might, hopefully we'll live in a lot more of a liberal world where people are a lot kinder to each other.
Yeah, I'm really hopeful for that.
Yeah, and you know, young people aspire to be scientists and epidemiologists. Yeah. And the world will look very different from what it does now.
Yep. And mine is that I got out the old Nintendo Wii, which I used to love when I was a kid. My cousins used to have one and they'd bring it to like family gatherings and I'd be so excited. And then mum got me one for my birthday. And it was one of those things that I used and then haven't used for ages. I like got it out the other day and I've been playing it. And it's really fun.
Yeah.
That's
another way of passing the time. Okay, well, that's us done for now, and we will be back next time with more.
Thank you so much for listening.
Thanks for your support, and please get in touch. questions@coronacast.co.uk.
Yep, any comments, tips, questions, all welcome.
And thanks for your lovely feedback about our episodes.
Thank you. Bye.